Are you not recording now?
Yeah. Gams, can you get closer to your mic, please?
Can you hear me?
Three black TV producers on a late night Zoom and two cheap bottles of wine later, this podcast was born.
We are ready to chat all things from politics, entertainment, social issues and TV.
Plus everything in between, including our black perspective on life.
I'm Tiana, aka T.
I'm Sienna.
And I'm Gamma, so get ready for some unfiltered lulls, some talk and tears.
As we share our personal experiences.
This is
the In Our Black Opinion podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of In Our Black Opinion. I'm Tiana and I'm joined by the wonderful Gamma and Sienna. So, ladies, how's everyone doing?
It's a heavy sigh. I mean, like,
love it all.
As you know, as the week we are recording this, there's another black man that's being shot by the people who are paid to protect him. And it's mad. It's like, you know, I've previously said, like, all this stuff, like, gets me into a headspace that is sometimes quite scary and quite dark. But with this one, like, I don't know. Like, I watched the video of Jacob Blake, and I know some people choose not to, but I think I'm just numb to it now. And I was just like, this is real life. Like, this guy was shot in front of his kids. And not like his kids were standing afar when they saw it. They were in the car. So not only are they shielding themselves from being shot, they're also watching their dad being shot. Not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times. You're like...
So for me, I am numb to it. I haven't watched the video. And you know what? I have been skimming past the article because I'm just so disappointed. The only change for me is that it popped up on my feed and it was an ally who shared the post. That's been the only difference. It hasn't been within the black community first. But yeah, I'm just so disappointed because all this stuff seemed to have happened, all this work's meant to be being done. And yet for me, it kind of feels like it's the same, actually. This new set, that nothing seems to have changed if it's still happening. Have you watched the video, Sienna?
No, I actually couldn't watch it. And do you know what? I saw the start of it and the sound wasn't on and I thought, is it one of these videos again? And reading the captions, I saw it and I thought, I just don't think I can watch it today, just because I was scared myself, like what kind of rage I was going to be in that day, that working day. And, you know, it's not, you know, when you've got to go to work and stuff, I thought, I can't be cussing and blinding at every single person I see. And that is how it would make me feel. But especially about that video, because the three kids were watching. That touched me in a way that was like, because obviously you guys know, I saw my dad be attacked by the police when I was only seven. And that stuck with me my entire life and has affected me my entire life. And the way that I see police now has changed. I'm scared of their power. And just the kid aspect for me in particular, I was like, I can't watch this video.
Like, if that was my job, I would know not to make that mistake again. You know, yeah. It's been heard about worldwide. So why am I shooting more black people? You know, it's almost intentional.
So it is weird that we've just come to accept that this might be a casualty along the way of arresting someone. And also, I feel like I saw something that was shared that just reminded me that, was it Dylan Roof, that guy that went into the church in America and shot at all the black people last year or the year before? And the fact that they bought him like a Burger King and managed to peacefully arrest him without any kind of casualty makes you think, if this guy can literally slaughter people and you can arrest him in a peaceful way, the guy was getting in his car.
You know, it's the stereotype. It's black men are scary, shouldn't be approached, and black women are strong, so they can take anything.
But yeah. You know, like, so you know, we were talking about the strong black woman trope. well, that studies kind of think that that actually comes from slavery, in terms of like the way that kind of colonialists justified slavery was kind of by portraying Black people to be not as sensitive to pain, to be animal-like. So what's happened is, although we're no longer living in shackles, it's still in our institutions, so that they think that Black women, you know, are strong, built out, you can throw anything against them and they're just going to get on with it. But it's why we still have a lot of the problems and why we're still seen like that, and yeah, and still represented like that on all the media, you know.
The fact that, you know, let's talk about Megan Thee Stallion. How do you guys feel about that? And, you know,
tell me exactly what went down, because I have got bits, but I need to know the full story.
Okay.
Who said that?
I'm not like a fact checker here, but this is what I got off of Instagram. Megan was allegedly at a party with Kylie Jenner, was leaving the party and was shot at. And it was all kind of like mysterious at the start. No one really knew who it was or like where she was shot or what had kind of happened. I just remember seeing the headlines that she was shot. But then she did an Instagram live the other day, because so many people were saying they didn't believe her and that it was all bullshit. So she did an Instagram live and she said that the person that did it was allegedly Tory. What's his name? Tony. I don't even know what his name is.
Tory Lanez.
Tory Lanez. A rapper?
Just about a rapper.
Okay.
What
you and she said that the reason she didn't come forward is because she was trying to protect him as a Black man. And the support from celebs and stuff has been crazy towards Megan, saying like the respect that she showed to Tony. Tony?
Tory.
Yeah,
he don't matter anyway.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's irrelevant. But the respect that she showed him is just the same respect that Black women should be getting from Black men.
Because I found out about it from people taking the mic, because I was obviously late to the party. So I heard people going, what is she talking about? She got shot. She's lying. How do you walk out of a car like that? How can you get shot? So I heard all the backlash before I heard the actual story, which made me question her. Like, I was like, what is she? Is this a real thing? Is this what this story just seems very far-fetched?
Like, so I saw it on the Shade Room, and you know when you just wake up and then you're just like,
I love the Shade Room.
Shout out to the Shade Room. But you know when you just wake up and you're like, what else can 2020 fucking give us? And the next thing, it's like Megan Thee Stallion's been shot, and I was just like, bruv, I'm not ready for this. And then people start making jokes and memes, but from the get-go, like, she had loads of support, but mainly from female celebs. She's living her best life, released a banging tune. I mean,
killing it.
Shout out to WAP. With Cardi, number one. And then because she's in the club part, like, you know, celebrating, people are like, how can you be celebrating if you're being shot? What's she supposed to do? Just like hide.
But the fact that she even had to upload a photo or video of like her actual foot shot up.
Did she?
Yeah, because people didn't believe it. So she uploaded photos of it.
And even in the comments, so my girl's done a whole video saying I've been shot, and people are still like, well, and that is because of this thing that is ingrained in people, and even within the Black community, of Black women can't be victims. We saw it with the #MeToo movement, and now we're seeing it with Meg. We are never allowed to be the victims. And like, there are sectors of society, like, you know, industry, that refuse to believe any other narrative about Black women that isn't oh yeah, you're so strong, you're so strong.
You imagine,
and it's bullshit.
Can you imagine the outcry and the difference in opinion and people's reactions if he had shot Kylie Jenner? I mean, she was leaving her party, but can you imagine the shit show? He'd have been arrested that night. Like, but why did he?
It would have been
the
like,
issue
oh my God,
is
Kylie
why
Jenner's
did why did a Black man feel entitled and like he could shoot a Black woman and know that he would get away with it? Like when you break it down, like you're right, it exists in the black community as well. Like,
I feel like people will be listening to this and thinking, oh, well, you know, all women face discrimination. But imagine black women are facing double discrimination. Mm-hmm. We're facing discrimination of our race, and then we're facing discrimination because of our gender. Like, that shit is tiring. Like, you're constantly having to fight two battles. And then, God forbid, you happen to be a lesbian, or you happen to be bisexual, or you happen to be a black trans woman, as we saw last week.
Yeah.
With those, like, being, like, I don't even, like, that video I couldn't watch. That video I couldn't watch because I'm just like, these men are chasing them down.
It was the streets of Hollywood. Disgusting.
Not even like a little quiet alleyway.
Oh, God. We'll send it to you. It was just absolutely horrific. And the thing is, I watched about four different videos, and it was different people's perspectives. It was different people's camera angles of kind of what was happening. And these girls were confronted by a man who had asked if they were trans and had robbed them and had thrown stuff at them, threw a scooter at them, but basically just like tormented them for like quite a while. And people on the street were laughing, videoing, taking pics, people dropping to the ground from like the violence as well. And yeah, just the most horrific, like, transphobic attack. And what's worse is that the police drive past. It's caught on film. They drive past, they slow down, they carry on going.
Awful. Have you guys ever had moments where, you know, you've definitely known that you've not been treated the same, or with or care, or been protected because you're black? Like, I know I've probably got hundreds.
I remember definitely being mixed race in Kent, everyone was seen as black, basically. And I was in a school with 1,500 students, and it was me, my brother, another black guy, and his sister. And that was it. Yeah, so I remember being bullied horrifically at so many different schools in Kent. I think I went to like four or five different schools. And one of the schools, I remember it was my first day in a science class, and this guy, I was the only black person in my class, and this guy threw a science chair at me, like just threw it at me across the room. And I was a child, I was like 11 or 12 years old. And I was absolutely like terrified. And I went home and cried, told my mum, told the teachers. They didn't really take it seriously, and there wasn't any real sympathy. It was more just kind of justifying his behavior. But it happened a lot, and it happened a lot. And, you know, my mum had to keep going in, and nobody was taking it seriously. And then on the flip side of that, there was a bully that was a girl who was white, and she bullied everyone horrifically for years. And there was one time we stood up to her, and how seriously it was taken. And this was bitchiness on Facebook v the stuff that I was going through, which was like physical torment for years, basically, by grown like boys as well. Some boys that were like way older than I was. I had a rock thrown at me with the N-word wrapped in paper around it. And just nothing was done, nothing. And then when this girl, this non-black girl came into school with her mum crying about some bitchiness on Facebook, oh my gosh, the whole school shut down. Like, do you know what I mean? I think we were put on isolation for a while. We weren't allowed to go to classrooms, treated as if it was the most serious thing in the world, which rightly so it should be, but so should everybody else's experiences. So yeah, that's something I remember from when I was younger, that definitely was the first time that I was like, they don't take my pain seriously.
This sounds so weird, but like, I remember when I was younger, not even younger, still in my 20s, but I used to be really envious of white women. Because I would see, and especially in the workplace and stuff like that, and not just in, you know, TV, but like when I used to work in retail and other stuff, even at uni, that they were just allowed to be vulnerable. Like, they were allowed to be vulnerable and everyone would take notice. Like, even I would take notice. And looking back at it, I just realise now that's just because we've been trained to be like that.
I completely relate to that because I'm very expressive. I can't hide my pain, so it's always there. But what I've been trained to do is be used to nobody responding, just almost going, yeah, but you deal with that because that's what you do. Mm. And knowing that other people can, you know, be vulnerable and express their pain and it be listened to, acknowledged, something's done about it. But I don't even really, when someone asks me if I'm okay, I very rarely say, no, I'm not, because I'm so tired of being ignored even when I do say that, that it's easier just to say I'm okay. And yeah. I think actually people have actually just stopped asking me if I'm okay because it's actually irrelevant, isn't it? Because they're not interested in the real answer. You are a strong Black woman. So the answer is yes, moving on to more about my pain.
So yeah, my recent experience, which wasn't actually that long ago, I was out in Soho with my friend. Just, you know, when you just had a really good night and it's the end of the night and this woman literally just walks up to me and then we thought she was going to ask for money. So I was just being polite. So my friend and I turned around and was like, you know, just ready to listen and just be like, you know, we don't have any change or, you know, the usual. And this woman literally looks at me and goes, I used to be double the size and I got a gastric band.
What?
And I was so lost for words because I was just like, what? And then she repeated it. She was like, I used to be really big. I used to be fat and I got a gastric band. This is a complete stranger who walked up to me and my friend and basically felt she was allowed to fat shame me. And then I've mentioned this before, like I can be confident in whatever, but when it comes to my weight, that is my one trigger. And what made it worse was she wasn't even looking at me when she was saying it. She was looking at my friend Jenny, who's white, talking about me to her as if like Jenny's my keeper, if that makes sense. And then I was just like so lost for words. And, you know, for the record, the woman that said it to me was white. She just came up to me and felt like she could say that to me. And then at first I was like, oh, I'm not going to, this is, you know, like you're so trained to be like, oh, this isn't about race. This isn't about race. And I know people will be listening to this and be like, no, it's not about race. But I felt like she would not go up to a white person and fat shame them like that. And so I asked her, because I was just lost. I was just like, who are you? And really politely, like, I'm actually, like, shocked at, like, how I kept my cool. Because inside, I literally just wanted to cry. I was like, I've had such a good night. You know, I'm about to go home. And then you're just going to come up and basically say, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat. And so I asked her, I was like, would you go up to a white woman and fat shame her like this? And no word of a lie, she said, well, it would be different. So I asked her, what do you mean it'll be different? And then she just wouldn't answer. So like my friend got really angry. She was just like really angry. And for the record, my friend is like 5'0". She's very petite, very
she
short.
Is tiny.
And at that moment, she just turned into like this 6'4" giant for me, because I couldn't protect myself. I was just like, what? And the woman kept going on and she wouldn't leave us alone. And what hurt even more is people walked past, but they kept staring at her. And then they kept giving her like a look of like, are you okay? She's the aggressor. I'm the victim. And then we kept telling her, go, just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. And so my friend Jenny got in her face and was just like, fuck off. Like I was frozen. Like I just couldn't move. I was like, is this actually happening? So Jenny got her phone out and she like lunges for her. She lunges for my friend and tries to hit her, tries to smack her phone out of her hand. So I just saw red. So I went to push her. And as I went to push her, there was like someone walked past and I'm telling you, they looked at this bitch like she was the victim. Like, almost like, oh God. You know when like, oh, should we watch just in case this big black girl like attacks her? Like, not only are you fat shaming me, then I ask you, would you have the same caucasity to say this to a white woman? You then tell me it's different. Like, what's different? What is different? And that's probably because she's been brought up to think that all black women are strong, that they can take it, so we can say whatever they want to them, and they either have to keep stum and say fuck all, or they're just gonna have to go off and cry in private. And like, I'm over it. And I've said this, when I have kids, and if I have girls, I am gonna fucking bring them up and tell them that they are allowed to feel whatever they want. And if anyone dares try to tell them otherwise, I will come down to that school, I will come down to that workplace and tell them they can go fuck themselves, because I am just over it. We cry, we hurt, we fucking bleed like everyone else. Just let us be. And I remember just like when my dad passed away. Like, those following months were fucking so hard for me, but to the outside world, like when I'd go to work and stuff, they were just like, oh, you're so strong, you know, you're so strong. And it's just like, I'm not, you just assume that I'm okay. Like, you just, but then someone will come in and be crying because they fucking broke up with their boyfriend or something, or they had like a really shit night out, and everyone's like, oh. And I'm just like, and that for me was so eye-opening. Like, that year, the year, that whole year, is actually, I think, probably the first time I really, really realised, oh, this trope of the strong black woman isn't just something that is made up in our heads or you see on TV. Like, it is real life. It's absolutely mad. And then when you, like, cry, or when you, like, say, hey, like, that made me feel the type of way, you're made to feel like you shouldn't say that, like you're in the wrong, like you need to basically hush and deal with it internally. But that shit is dangerous.
It upsets me so much hearing you talk like that. I just want to give you a hug. It's so fucking shit. And like, and also, have you got footage of this woman? Because we should, make it go viral?
No. All we got was a picture that's like really blurry.
But do you not feel like, you know, when you were just saying then that people say that, you know, you feel like you should be processing it all internally, do you not feel like when you do that, people see you as a cold, scary black woman not to approach? It's like, it's literally a double-edged sword. Like, you literally can't win. Yeah. Because I remember that specifically with you, T, when you, I know this about you in the sense that sometimes you just come in and you'll get the job done, but I can see that you're not okay. And sometimes, you know, you're like, I don't want to talk about it. That's fine. And there's loads of people that are like that, black and white, you know, that sometimes have a bad day and don't want to talk about it. That's absolutely fine. But I remember specifically,
I know what you're going to say.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what were you
going to say? You were going to say, and then someone came in and was literally crying about their fridge freezer being flat. And me and Sienna were both going through massive life-changing events, having to come in, get our head down, do our work, because no one really has time to listen to, you know, a black woman going through a lot.
And visibly looking upset and nobody asking if you were okay. I only knew you didn't want to talk about it because I had asked if you did, but nobody else did. So a non-black person came into the office and was upset that they had scratched their brand new fridge. And, you know, each their own, we all have our own problems. But the attention that got from the office in comparison to Tiana, who was so visibly upset, it was like, it's almost as if they're scared to ask, which is a thing in itself. Are you scared of black women? You know what I mean? When you break it down, is that what it comes down to? Are you scared to be supportive? Are you scared to approach black women and ask if they're okay? Is that like another aspect of their white fragility? Are they scared of communicating with a black person on a level? Is, you know what I mean? It's the only thing I can think of as to why specifically white women do not approach black women and ask if they're okay.
I was going to say, it's the issue with modern feminism, isn't it? Well, not even modern feminism, feminism as a whole. And I remember when I told this this one of my colleagues that I worked with, she was like, oh yeah, it's so nice to have other women and we're you know, we can be feminists together. I was like, I'm not a feminist. And instead of giving me the chance to explain why, I was saying, after what she was talking about and the topic we were talking about, I was like, I do not want to be attached with that, because that movement, that type of feminism, doesn't include women of colour, doesn't include trans women, and doesn't include anyone that doesn't basically fit perfectly in the white female cis box. Like, we feel differently to them, like we bleed differently to them, or we feel pain differently to them. And that dangerous way of thinking not only leads to really bad, you know, mental health, but it also leads to the death of black women in pregnancy, like during childbirth, because our pain isn't believed. Like, whether it's mental pain or physical pain, it's not believed.
Yeah.
No, giving the people that I'm currently working for credit, it was so funny, because normally I have been like, I am okay. For the first time, when my boss had asked me if I was okay, I said no. And it was like a bomb had exploded in the room. Just like, mouths were like aghast, like what do we do if she said that she's not okay? I just explained kind of lockdown's been difficult for me because I've been on my own, and we had the Black Lives Matter, and now, you know, I'm on a team that isn't very diverse, and I'm doing work on my own. It's the first time I've been around people, let alone people who are all non-black. So, you know, it's a lot. And they were really helpful, actually. And they were like, okay, so we'll allow you to stay overnight sometimes, and so that you can be a bit more social, a bit more in it. But for me to say I'm not okay, I'm still recovering from it, because it's really unusual. Like, it's a big step, because for so long I've drained myself by saying I'm okay, I can handle it, because no one's gonna listen otherwise, get on with it, we have to work harder than everyone else, we have to take it on our shoulders. That this is the first, I'm getting used to a world where we start saying I'm not okay, and it's actually really hard to make that switch. It's harder than people would think, because we've been so used to not. And I was reading this thing that kind of says that it's generational, you know, our I want to say ancestors, but it probably does come back that far, but our elders very much kind of encouraged us to be strong, get your head down, get on with it, because it's not going to be easy. And I remember one of the last things my mom ever said to me was, you need to be stronger. And she didn't mean anything bad from it. That was the advice that she had been given and had helped her get through, and she was handing it down to me. And it has, and I have played that part, and it has got me far, but gosh, it has cost me my mental health at times, because there's only so much you can play that role with before you snap. And I think that's why we do have a lot of mental health issues within the black female community. But yeah, it's almost like we're at another stage where we need to start treating black women as vulnerable and teaching us how to not play that part as well. Like, there's other part, we can be vulnerable, we can be sad, like you were saying, we can be angry, but we almost have to relearn how to play those parts and for it to be okay, because we've not seen it on TV. We've not been taught it by our elders. So it's like a new role that we're having to learn.
Because you're scared, aren't you? You're scared of sometimes showing emotion, and then, you know, you'll get judged on that. And be like, oh God, she's a bit unstable, she is. And it's like, what? And I just want to say to, like, you know, all the black women listening, like, fuck it. If you're having a bad day, you're okay to have a bad day. We're just so good at wearing that mask, that smile and be strong, and don't show them your weakness. And yeah, well, you know, our parents have told us that, but they've taught us that because they're trying to protect us. But in the same breath, like, be vulnerable. It's okay.
And also, it's okay to be angry and, you know, not just upset, but angry and cross about everything that's going on. And, like, if you feel some people I mean, I don't know about you, but the rep that I have with like friends or boyfriends that I've dated, I feel like any time I'm angry or say anything, I'm out of line or I'm sassy or I'm loud or not even just confident, just always out of line. When literally all I've done is say how I feel about something, which is completely valid. And I think we just need to be told more that what we're saying is valid, and that, like, you know, if we have trauma, which we all do from being of Black origin, you all have trauma, and it's okay that that lives with you all the time, and that you are triggered, and that you can sometimes be upset and angry about all these things at once. You don't need to justify why you feel like that to anyone. And yeah, I'm starting to like learn that now, that, like, you know, if we see something on the news in the morning that upsets us and triggers us and makes us feel upset, we have every fucking right to be in a mood that day or that week, or to not want to speak to people for a week, or want our own time, or want to indulge, or want to do something nice for ourselves. Or it's completely valid. It's no different from anybody else's trauma. And yeah.
Yeah. So off the back of kind of the Black Lives Matter thing, lately, when I'm having difficulties at work or in general life, I've literally caught myself reminding myself that I matter, which sounds so ridiculous, but I swear to God, it's helping me so much. Like when I'm having a moment where, you know, I'm not okay, and I feel like I have to remind myself that that is okay, I've literally been going, I matter, I matter. And I think that is kind of the way forward, of just reminding all Black women that they do matter, whether they're strong, whether they're angry, whether they cry, whether they're sad, those feelings are genuine. And hopefully after this movement, we can start recognizing that and feeling that more often. But it is still sad because we really don't matter. Like Breonna Taylor's killers are still free, and we've got the Say Her Name hashtag to just kind of remind people that, you know, Black female lives matter as well. We often get forgotten, and, you know, our pain often gets ignored. And so yeah, it's just, we do matter, and we matter in all the different versions. We're full-rounded people, and that needs to be celebrated. But I mean, obviously it's a recurring theme now. It's like, the work's not all on us. It's not all on our shoulders, this. It's up for other people to call it out too. So, you know, stand up for Black women, celebrate Black women, amplify their voices. You know, there's something that everyone can do, whether it's supporting a cause or, you know, politely responding to an email and saying, oh, I think a massive generalisation has been made here, or something like that. Or do you know what? Even something as small as asking the only Black girl in the office if she wants to grab a coffee with you, if she looks a little bit down that day. We can all do something. And speaking of people doing something, it seems like a good place to mention Black Minds Matter UK. So they are working very hard to connect Black people to therapists. And it sounds like the response has been great, but overwhelming. There's a lot of people out there hoping to connect with therapists. And they have a GoFundMe page so that they could raise even more funds and connect more people. So let's show them some support if we can, and, you know, get more people talking about things that they've had locked inside them for far too long.
So that's it this week. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of the In Our Black Opinion podcast. If you enjoyed listening, please like, share and subscribe to our content. As always, if you have any suggestions or even just fancy a chat, slide into our DMs, they're always open. Thanks again.
I can't believe I thought it was Tory.
It is Tory.
Oh, Tony. I thought it was Tony.
You thought it was Tony.
Tony Lanez.
Lanez.
Oh, babe, I sound like an old fogey. I'm like, rapper?
No.